Hi everyone, welcome to lesbiasian.com. This is Faith, and today Tawny has gone missing. Just kidding. She won't be joining us today though, but will be back with us next time. We do have an exciting special guest calling in from New York City. Today joining us is K.S. Stevens. She's a playwright who was named in Go Magazine's 2010 100 Women We Love. She's a native New Yorker and a member of the Dramatists Guild of America, Asian American Film Lab, the Wild Cafe Theater, and League of Professional Theater Women. We'll be getting to know KS and hear about her new and exciting production, Big Excellent 23 Union, which premieres Wednesday, June 6th at Theater 80. Tickets go on sale May 1st. KS, thanks for joining us today at lesbiasian.com. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for shouting out to me.
Yay. We'll just go ahead and go straight into the questions. If you could tell us, what is your animal sign?
I am a Taurus. And I know that means that I guess I'm stable and stubborn and earthy. I don't put a lot of weight into that when I first meet people.
Have you done your birth chart?
I actually can't do my birth chart. I'm a Vietnamese adoptee.
I see.
So the time and the location is something that I'm never going to know. So I just, I don't focus on it.
Sorry, have you seen that film Operation Babylift?
I have it, and I haven't watched it yet, but I do know that group of people that put it together.
Okay.
I'm in contact on Facebook with there's a few adoptee groups, and there's a big reunion in Colorado in September, and one of the orphanages, actually two of the orphanages that had children on board were the orphanages that my sister and I came from, and I'm still in touch with Betty Tisdale. She was the liaison with America, and she adopted, I think, 5 or 6 children herself. And then actually one of the partners that is going to receive part of the audience donations for my show is her fundraising group that distributes monies to orphanages in Vietnam, and Colombia, and Bogota.
Excellent. Have you been back to Vietnam at all?
I have. I went back in 2000. I wanted to go for something special, so I went to the Millennium. It was like, I need to do something so that I can grow and mature and have a lifetime milestone, too. And so I decided that was going to be a gift to myself. And I also, needed to work out. Place was within the fabric of Asian American culture and also queer Asian American culture, being an adoptee. And so I found the answers that I was looking for and answers that I didn't know I would have answers, but I've become comfortable with my identity as an adoptee.
Thanks for sharing all that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go into you being out in the community. So can you share what age you came out and how it went?
I knew I was attracted to girls when I was really little, probably kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And I, when I was younger, I thought I wanted to be a boy. And I only dressed in little boy outfits, little boys' clothes. My mom used to dress me in a dress the first day of school in elementary school, and then after that was like as good as it got.
You get one day, that's it.
Yeah, and it's funny because I'm now in touch with a lot of people from elementary school and kindergarten.
Really?
And I have one friend who's like, as soon as you walked in, I was like, oh, that one is gay.
Oh my god.
But I actually wasn't comfortable being butch. It was natural when I was younger, and then I realized that I liked women, so I tried to hide it. But when I went to college, I definitely tried to present more femme until I was like 25, and then when I was like 27, I finally chopped off my hair. And that makes sense. And actually, like when I was old, in my mid-20s, that's when I was comfortable.
Okay.
Like fully.
Did you find it impacted your career much?
I think that what was interesting for me is that when I was in California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, I felt like San Francisco was much more tolerant for people that didn't look like the hetero norm.
Mm-hmm.
And actually there's a very big butch femme community out there. So I think in San Francisco, the energy felt like it was more comfortable being butch out there or looking butch, as opposed to being here in New York. I feel like it's more of a challenge.
That's so interesting about New York because, I would have thought that somewhere like New York would be very tolerant and accepting, actually.
I think San Francisco, or the West Coast versus the East Coast, Yeah. Think maybe the West Coast is a little more verbal, being loving.
Yeah.
And accepting. And within New York, it's very open and it's very tolerant, but I also don't live, like, right in the middle of Brooklyn or Williamsburg or anything like that. So it's a different, I just find that every, and also my demographic, my age demographic now, approaching middle age.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Wait, how old are you again?
I'm turning 40 in a few weeks.
Oh, well, yeah. Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
We're on your website, and then, you know, of course, we're trying to find out more about you. We were so excited because we saw that you crowned Miss Les 2009, and we're like, wow, never heard of any sort of pageant like that.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Like, I didn't know about it either until my friend took me to it when I moved to New York again, and she was like, you have to come to this thing. And it was hysterical. So, like, during intermission, I ran up to Maria Hill, and I was like, can I be in this next year? This is the best. And he was, you know, nice and said, yeah, kid, showbiz, keep in touch with me. And then what happened is that I was working on my playwriting, and I had two productions that year. And I kept in touch with Murray because I wanted Murray to come to see Butch Mamas, and then said, hey, are you still interested in doing Miss Les? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm about to go into the show, and I can't think straight. And he's like, come on, do it, do it, do it. So I figured, why not? You know, and this is before I really, like, would know whether or not Butch Mamas would be a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. I figured, you know, bucket list. Who else is going to invite me to be part of a pageant? So
it was so awesome, and we're so proud of that. We're like, yeah, KS1.
And it was something that was important to me because with visibility, with the stereotypical butches, I just wanted to add another color to the palette. You know, and actually one of the reasons I got into playwriting is because I went and I saw somebody else's show, and hopefully it'll just inspire somebody to be like, hey, if they're doing this, maybe I don't have to just do spoken word.
Right. Well, congratulations. I guess you kind of segued into the playwriting. When exactly did you get into playwriting and producing?
So I started producing my plays in 2009. So at the end of Big Excellent 23 Union, this will be my fourth production in 3 years. And I started studying playwriting in 2007. I went to HB Studio, and then I also took every book I could at the New York Public Library that was about musical theater, producing. I joined some networks, including the Wild Cafe Theater and the Dramatists Guild. You know, I wasn't an actress, but what I did know is that I could write a good story. And when I looked back at my attempts of being on stage at spoken word events or trying to do some comedy, I realized that what I was doing was I was writing monologues and I was writing stories. So that I actually started in 95, and then in 2007 I started going to classes, and after my first two assignments I said, I don't want to have this class just be for my class, I want to turn this into something real. And so I started changing and only writing my homework assignments for Asian American characters, and so I could create contemporary Asian American one-acts. And then at the end of that class, I wrote one or two more one-acts, and then I put it together at the Wild Cafe Theater, and that was my first showcase, was Yellow Lens. And then after that, just being part of the Wild Cafe Theater, I got really inspired to write a lesbian play, and I wanted to create a play that would be realistic, but I also wanted to showcase butch visibility. Because what I had noticed is that when I watched, you know, more mainstream lesbian media, the butch characters were still kind of minstrels, or they weren't very colorful, or they were kind of one-dimensional.
Right.
And so I wanted to bring multiple butch characters together, so they all came together at the Butch Mama support group. And so
is that online at all? I want to see Butch Mamas.
It's not, because it was a play.
Yeah, so no recording.
No, and it was also an equity showcase, but it's definitely on my top priority list, where if I get funding, that's probably the first movie I want to shoot.
Yeah.
But it was great because, like, all these butches were so different, and yes, some of them may hang out, but probably most of them will not.
Uh-huh.
And so I was able to bring four different very butch and androgynous characters together where everybody has the same goal and the same want. And it could be realistic that they would come and this is how they would interact with each other and share their life experience.
Sounds so cool, because definitely something that is lacking in the community is that butch visibility. So,
I mean, I think it's getting much better now.
Yeah. So do you do playwriting full-time?
I focus on it full-time, especially with this production.
So tell me about the big, excellent 20th reunion.
This is going to be so much fun.
I wish I was in New York because I really want to see it.
It's good to know. Like it on Facebook.
We will.
The more people that like it on Facebook, then the bigger, the better chance.
Yeah, we want to hype it up.
Investors, and it's about six friends who attend their 20th high school reunion. And what happens is that there's one friend named Allie, and she had been battling cancer. She passes away, but she makes her daughter and Kevin promise not to tell the other best friends from high school who she's kind of lost touch with over the years mm-hmm. that she passed away. I don't want to scare people, but I really did try to put, like, everything under the sun in there. It's important to me. So, like, Erica is a young woman of color who's 18. Is a very well-adjusted young woman who was born with HIV. Allie, who was her mom, and she goes back to this reunion. And you would think it would be very simple to show up and be like, great, you're all here. Now I have to tell you something. But they all come back, and they quickly reveal that all of them were one type of queer. So one comes out as trans, one is bi, two is gay, and one is a lesbian. And if the only difference from high school is that they are all now out, then it brings up all of the infighting and the dynamics that we have within the queer community that are making us not as strong as we should be when we should be fighting for all of each other's rights. What I tried to do within this play was show again how there's a pecking order, and, you know, that scenario can sound really heavy, is that I like to add some humor to it so that way people will get the message, not be completely uncomfortable. With this play, it is about civil rights, but it is about friends, and it's about how cancer impacts family and friends, HIV impacts people, and also just about, you know, saying how we still don't have all the freedoms that we should have. And there's a song called Prom where they all start talking about how, you know, currently they hear about high school students who are denied to go to their own prom.
Right.
Gay or lesbian or trans. And they talk about the verbal commands of saying, no, you're not allowed to come, or the unspoken energy that says you're not welcome here. But it's also about people showing up and being in touch with people and having that human connection and maybe getting off the BlackBerry or getting off email.
Wow. So it sounds like a really complex storyline. What are some main points? I know you kind of shared a little bit.
The main points that what I like to do in all my plays, because they have been so focused on being Asian and queer.
Yeah.
These people are very rich. There's so much dimension to them. Even if you think you're coming into theater and you're seeing an Asian American play, these characters are not just Asian American, it's a facet of them. The same thing with all my queer plays. All these characters that I created, they all have so much dynamic going on within each other, within themselves. If I can do my job right, then I can show that every single person on stage with a 360 view is a very human, gorgeous, flawed person who has a situation that's going on where you remember this moment for the rest of your life. Did I make the right choice? And because I think that's what everyone in the audience comes away with, is like, I can relate to that person. That's what makes theater an incredible energy exchange to me between the actors on stage and sitting in the audience. It's when you feel your heart beating and you're on the edge of your seat and you just feel all this emotion and you're just present for 2.5 hours. Because I think that also with the fact with musical theater, there's an ability to linger in the minds of people more than just seeing a straight play.
Yeah.
Because of those melodies, because of those tunes. And if people can walk away from this musical, I hope with at least three songs in their head, then those are the songs that resonate within people when they're trying to work out emotions, because that's what I did when I was a kid. I saw musical theater from the time I was like 7, and I was obsessed with like Evita and Annie and Joseph.
Oh my goodness.
With this musical, there's like other songs in here like Positivity, which is sung by the two people that are living with HIV. And it's not a song about being depressed and like, oh my God, I got diagnosed to be positive. What do I do now? It's more about claiming your life and making the most that you have and not taking life for granted, because you're going to live a life of positivity because you found out you were positive, and you can't afford not to take that time because you know you have a deadline now. Songs just have such an incredible power to resonate, and I think that I also built a strong enough libretto that this play is really going to linger on people's minds and have a really nice impact the way art should, and not feel like a play where somebody's putting up a play just so they can pick your pocket because they say, well, the standard is $99 for a Broadway ticket or an off-Broadway ticket.
Well, it all sounds very exciting and definitely something that more of what we need. Like you said, we definitely lack visibility, and it's kind of limited what's out there right now in terms of representation of lesbian and definitely Asian lesbian too. So
yeah,
thank you for doing the work.
Yeah, that's why, like, if anybody who feels like they're not represented and feels like they want to do a part somewhere in media or behind the scenes producing or camera work or editing, just put it out there and see who else is willing to work and try.
Well, I think that's all the questions I have. Did you want to share anything else?
No, if you're in New York, please come and see the play. Tickets go on sale May 1st. And if you are not, please like us so I can hopefully find a way to bring the play closer to other people and make it more accessible.
Excellent.
If you go on my website and you see Big Excellent and you click on the link that says Purchase Tickets, that is the direct link to the theater.
Okay, cool.
The Theater 80s Ticket Mania.
Okay, well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So thank you.
So if you're in New York City, definitely go check out KS and her show, Big Excellent 20th Reunion. You can visit her website at kstevens.com, that's kstevens.com, to find out more info and purchase tickets. Thanks for listening. Until next time, Lesbians for Life!